You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
All right. How many of you guys know Psalm 23 by heart? Chuka, you got it? What's the first three verses? Okay, that's awesome. Great job. Here's what I want us to do. The Lord is my shepherd, and I like the NIV. It says, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. So I want you to right now, just with the person next to you, I want us to just take about a minute, and I want you to pray with that theme, that he's your shepherd, you lack nothing. And he wants to lead you beside quiet waters. He wants to restore your soul. Let's have a minute of prayer. You know, we'll do 2 minutes of prayer to begin the service, and then CJ has a great lesson for us tonight. So 2 minutes of prayer based upon Psalm 23. Let's go to that right now.
Okay. Well, let us make a start on tonight's material. So I have a few kind of starter questions for us all. So if you're sat by yourself or if there's, you know, someone around you, please make sure you pull people in, okay, and have a discussion together. So here's my first question. What is the purpose of the church? Quick 30-second discussion with the person next to you, then we'll have a little bit of feedback. Okay, time's up. A few responses. No right or wrong answer. It's okay. Well, no wrong answer. Hopefully there will be a right answer. Okay, what do we think? Okay, to us? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's great.
Be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Okay, love that.
He's pointing a laughing at me. I'm trying to have a place where people can be more like Jesus.
Okay, thank you. Similar to Oscar's. Jess? Sorry, Zahid was distracting me. Yeah, to be a spiritual family. Yeah, and the reparenting. Remember the schema stuff? But like, yeah, the reparenting that we get to enjoy from that, even though we may have had dysfunction. Excellent. Last one, just for time.
Yeah, I also think accountability.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Accountability, loving one another, speaking the truth to each other. Okay. So, as I said, none of those were wrong answers. However, look at this in Ephesians chapter 3. They were great answers. They were wonderful. But look at this in Ephesians 3. Jesus' purpose, this is verse 10, Jesus' purpose was that now, through the church, the manifold, which means the varied wisdom of God, should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that mean? Okay, so what is the purpose of the church according to Paul's writings? What does he even mean? To make what public? The knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, public and known to who? Which rulers? In the heavenly realms. What is that about? So, I won't go there, but if you want to look it up, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, it talks about how the angels longed to know what we know. That's what he's talking about, that we, the body of Christ, are explaining things and revealing things to the angels that they've been waiting to know their entire existence. Isn't that incredible? And that's through the church, through us. So they see the way that we interact with God, they see the way we interact with one another, and they're like, ah, now I get it. That's what this is, the purpose of the church. Okay, look at this verse. This is still in chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So here it says that we are to bring glory to God in the same way as Jesus brought glory to God. That's the purpose of the church. So we had some really good answers about being the hands and the feet of Jesus. But the goal, the ultimate goal of that is to glorify God through the way that we live our lives, the way we commune with one another, the way we connect with God. It's all to glorify him. Okay? That is our ultimate goal. So, question is, how do we achieve both of those things? How do we achieve this? Quick 30-second discussion. What do we think? How do we achieve this? Okay, time's up. Any thoughts? What do we think? No wrong answers. Tracy? Okay. Great. Yeah, excellent. Okay. Okay.
Being an active participant in church.
Okay.
Gifts that you uncover.
Yeah, like that. Jolene. Yeah. Great. Excellent. Like that.
Stay relational with God and have walking.
Yeah. Wonderful. So walking with God. Relation with him, wonderful, like that. Okay, Sam, last one, so just for time.
I think we have to be really intentional, deliberate, and understanding how we live. If we're going to be examples to angels, right, then we should be really focused on how our walk is. I think about Job. Job never thought, we were just talking about this, but Job never thought that we would be reading about his life and that we would be able to persevere. And he didn't understand that, right? He didn't get an answer. At least we know that there are individuals in heaven, right, that are looking at our lives and learning from us.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, now there's a problem with this question if we use the rest of Ephesians chapter 3. What do we think is wrong with this question? Okay, it's the we. So it's a little bit of a trick question. There is a we involved, absolutely. But the real question should be, how is this achieved in us? Okay? How is it achieved in us? So we've got these two verses, these two paragraphs in Ephesians 3. One of them talks about how we're able to display God's manifold wisdom. The other one is about us bringing glory to God. And then sandwiched in between those two paragraphs, we see this prayer of Paul that shows us how that is achieved in us. And this is the prayer. I ask that out of the riches of his glory, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Then you, being rooted and grounded in love, will have power together with all the saints to comprehend the length, the width, the height, the depth of the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is probably the most spirit-filled and spiritual prayer in the entire Bible. Can you imagine if we were to truly be able to live that out, that prayer out, by God's grace and by his spirit? Imagine what we would look like as a Christian. Imagine what our lives would be like, what our walk with God would look like. God couldn't help but be glorified through the way that we live our lives if that was truly being manifested in our lives each and every day. That's the goal. That's how God is glorified. That's how the angels in heaven are figuring out God's mystery, is by us living this prayer being lived out in us. So we have to, today we're going to kind of unpack this prayer a little bit and try and understand how does God achieve this within our lives? Okay? All right. So let's look at the first. We're not going to go through all four points. We don't have enough time. So we're just going to look at the first two. And then if you want to examine the other ones, you can. So the first one says that we are to be strengthened with power through God's Spirit in our inner being. So I have some questions there for you to discuss. You have a little bit of a longer time. What do you think that means? What does this look like? How is it attained? Okay, it's an incredibly deep prayer. Incredibly deep. So have a little discussion, help each other out, see what comes to mind, and then we'll feed back in a few minutes. Okay, let's wrap it up and see what you guys think. Okay, so what does it mean? What do you think it means?
Just pulling, just grasping the power of the Holy Spirit, because on our own strength we can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's pulling power from God,
yep.
The Holy Spirit, trying to be able to do things in His way.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a power that is beyond ourselves, that's given through the Holy Spirit, that God wants to fill us with and strengthen us with, that's, as I said, way beyond our own capabilities. Okay, love that. Any other thoughts?
I think like inner being stuff stood out. That it's not something you're saying, but it's not something that you just like sort of, oh, I sort of feel powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a deep rootedness
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
It's like at soul level.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Ridian?
Kind of jumping off of that, I like how it says in our inner being, not part of us.
Yeah.
Because I was just asleep and sharing that. For me, the Holy Spirit is something totally different besides myself.
Yeah.
The more I walk my walk as a disciple, the more I understand how selfish I am and how unable I am to do the right thing. And so literally it's raw obedience that the Spirit will tell me, get up, do this, and my heart will follow suit. But I think for me, it's like it's in me, but it's a part of me, but I'm constantly at war with it in
yeah.
some way. Just so it's just so great to know that it's not me who's good.
Yeah.
At all.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not our spirit at all.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think we think it's our will, you know, our effort, our abilities. It's not. It is completely God's will. And God's Spirit at work within us. It's completely separate from us to be filled in that way. Evelyn.
I was going to piggyback off of what she said. I love what she said. Sherry and I were talking about it. And she said that God is spirit. I find myself having to exercise my faith to relinquish all control to God through His Spirit. That in displaying my faith, I say, God, I trust You that no matter the outcome, Your will be done.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, what does it look like and how is it attained? We've had some answers that help us with that. Patricia?
The attainment comes, I think, from daily examining God's Word and always relinquishing our thoughts to what the Word teaches us and tells us daily.
Great. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Shi Feng and then Alfonso.
People can see all the spiritual fruits through us, like the light.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I think, Alfonso. Obeying God's word,
yeah.
You align yourself with the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
One, in the same mind, in the same direction,
yeah.
You definitely take on all the power that the Holy Spirit gives.
Okay, like that.
Daniel. Okay, I think definitely. I think the starting place when we receive that, for sure. We had Mark.
Yeah, I really thought about Jesus, going to the cross and just how he just powered up, not his will, but he was just really praying to God, his Father helped him.
And then, like you see, loose stone. You read that and you just go, how could a person just allow that to happen? And you read about just people of great faith.
Okay, we're going to have to move on.
We have a lot to go through, but let me share this scripture with you, which may help a little bit to answer some of those questions. Romans 8, 10 to 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. This verse has always just blown my mind. that as we celebrated Resurrection Sunday just a few days ago, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us who are in Christ. Does it feel like that every day? No. But that's God's goal for us. That we would be so filled by Him and aware of His presence that He is as real to us as our real life relationships with one another, as our physical relationships. That's how real He is to us. Look what it goes on. Romans 8 verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. This is the only time in the entire New Testament where there's a reference to us having an obligation for us to our salvation. Where we have an obligation or a debt to pay for what Christ has done for us. This word is similar to debt. So he says, we've got a debt, but it's a debt not to pay back our salvation. It's an obligation to simply do what? I wish it was simple, but to do what? To just live by the Spirit. That's our obligation, to live by the Spirit, to be spiritual. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's your sole obligation for the rest of your life. If you do that alone and your entire pursuit is to learn how to live by the Spirit of God, everything else is taken care of. Everything. Satan doesn't want us to be spiritual. He wants us to be religious. He wants you to go to church. But he doesn't want us to really understand and fully grasp and harness the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives. He wants to keep us more fixated on ourselves, on our own efforts, our own abilities, our own struggles, when all along there is this Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, who is living inside of us. That's amazing. Okay, so what does this lead to? That's the question. What does this lead to? So if we think back to Ephesians chapter 3, look at what it says it leads to. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So when we are so spiritual and Spirit-filled and being led and guided by the Holy Spirit in all things and at all times, Christ will fully dwell in our hearts through faith. So, question: how does living by the Spirit enable Christ to dwell in our hearts through faith? So we have to kind of understand maybe and think through what does that even mean, but there's a question for you just to think about for a couple of minutes and discuss. How does living by the Spirit enable Christ to dwell in our hearts through faith? Okay, a couple of minutes to discuss. So, any thoughts? We kind of have had some answer that was that gave us a clue. What do we think? Zahid.
What came to mind is thinking of a vessel, like thinking of ourselves as a vessel. And what happens is as you begin to live in the Spirit, you empty this vessel out of your sin, your selfish nature. It allows Jesus, who is perfect, to enter your vessel.
Yeah.
So then that's how he starts dwelling in your heart, because now you're cleansed by the Word.
Yeah.
And now he's able to dwell in you and then come out.
Okay, like that. Yeah, nice analogy. Sure.
Yeah, I think that if when I'm more mindful of the Holy Spirit leading me, or you know, trying to listen to what the Spirit says, I'm more likely to make a Christ-like choice rather than a shitty choice.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like trying to have a constant awareness of what does the Spirit want for me, rather than myself or kind of even just what I've always done, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, any other thoughts? Is that James? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. So this, you know, the Spirit always wants what's best for us. Always, in every single decision. Sometimes what's best for us may take a real step of faith to obey that. And that's what it's saying. And so when we decide to go with what the Spirit wants, we're aware, as Alfonso said, when we're aware of what the Bible teaches and we decide to act upon it, we're making a decision of faith at that point. And so when we do that, back to Zahid's point, we're then replacing whatever that faithless or sinful action or thought might be with a Christ-like one out of faith. And the Spirit helps us to do that. And then more and more and more, Christ is at home and dwelling and living as a constant part of our lives. Not just coming and going when we've had a good day and not around so much on our bad days. But constantly dwelling and at home and established, that's the Greek word there, established deeply within us. What would your Christian life look like if Christ was fully established in every area of your life? How you speak to your spouse, what you look at on your phone, all kinds of stuff. Imagine that's where God wants us to get us to. Okay? So, Dallas Willard, he, based on this, he came up with this. Now, he says that the whole person is made up of these five areas. By the way, I have a handout, and I have a QR code for the handout at the very end, okay? So the whole person is made up of the Spirit. This is not God's Spirit, this is our Spirit, and we would call this the heart or the will. Also made up of the mind, which are our thoughts and our feelings, the body, obviously, but we are also social human beings. We need and we interact with one another, and we're also, of course, made up of our soul as well. So that's the whole person. So he says that the Word of God and the Spirit of God enter into our lives, and the very center point of which they impact is where, first of all, is our spirit within our mind and within our will. And once they take root there, it's then able to then have a deeper and become deeply rooted in all the other areas of our lives. So once the mind and the spirit are under the control of the Spirit of God and being molded by the Word of God, what do you think the body, our physical body, and the way that we live out our physical life, what do you think that would look like? Holy, pleasing to God in every way. How will our social interactions with one another be?
Loving.
If our mind and our will, our spirit, is all in line with the Spirit of God. Loving, kind, Christ-like. You see, those first two areas, if God can impact those two core areas, then the rest of our lives, the Spirit will continue to manifest out of those. The problem is, sometimes we focus on the social, right? I've got to be more loving. And so we go to the symptom and we try to fix the symptom rather than really going back to the root cause, which is, okay, what's really going on in my mind? Where has this come from? Okay, I've just got to speak more nicely at home. Yeah, you do, but why are you speaking like that? What is it that's really going on? What part of our life have we not fully surrendered over to Christ to allow the Spirit to guide? Does that make sense? We get those two and we allow the Spirit to penetrate and to impact those, the others take care of themselves. Okay? And the soul, this is like the culmination of all the other four in complete unity and harmony with the Holy Spirit. Then our soul will be well. Look at what Dallas Willis said. He said, spiritual transformation only happens as each essential dimension of the human being, that's those five, is being transformed to Christ-likeness under the direction of a regenerate will. That means a will that's being constantly being regenerated and reformed, interacting with constant overtures of grace from God. That's the Holy Spirit penetrating every area of our lives. Such transformation is not the result of mere human effort, white-knuckling it until the day Jesus comes. No. And cannot be accomplished by putting pressure on the will alone. He's saying, listen, it's spiritual. If we want to be spiritually transformed, it can only truly come about through aligning our will with the Spirit of God. That's how it's done. Okay. So let me explain just the last step of this, and then we've got a little bit of an exercise to do to close. So when we allow the Spirit to impact the whole person, Ephesians 3 says, we will then be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that mean? What do you think? No discussion, just some quick thoughts. What do you think that means? That we will be filled with all the fullness of God. God's love. Yeah, He is love. What do we think?
Glory.
Glory. Yeah.
The attributes.
So Dallas Willard says, once we're at that point, there is an infinite, we place ourselves into an infinite environment of godliness, where that it is limitless as to what God will do in our lives, how He will be manifested within us. It's like we limit ourselves so much. And yet He says, listen, just be in tune with my Spirit, walk with me, and there's this incredible fullness. Fullness of God that He wants, not when we reach heaven, but right now on earth for the rest of our days. That's God's desire and promise for us, for His glory ultimately. But imagine what our lives would be, how rich they will be, how fulfilled we would be if we were able to live on that plane of existence. This is not just some nice, you know, futuristic language in a sci-fi movie. This is reality. This is reality. Okay, so we've only got about 5 or 10 minutes left. So I have a little exercise for you. There's a homework on there as well. Okay, now remember, all of this is just Paul's prayer. So what I'd like us to do is, after we've done the exercise, I'd like you to pray this prayer for the person next to you. Okay, because ultimately Paul is saying, hey, this can be achieved just through me praying for you. That's how much faith Paul had. So the first question: within which of the aspects of the whole person has the Spirit been leading you to be more faithful? Maybe it's the will, your heart, the mind, body, social, okay? Which of the spiritual disciplines have been or could be helpful in leading you to Christ-like transformation, and how with that particular aspect? Do you have a vim for that? If you have, share it with one another. If you haven't, on the handout that I'll give you, it explains what a vim is, and you can work on that at home if you want to. And then the homework is complete the same exercise for all the other aspects of the whole person. If you want to do the homework, of course you don't have to, but it's entirely up to you. No judgment. Okay. So, what we'll do today, we'll work on one and two probably for time, okay? And then pray for each other at the end. And then I've got another, I'll have this slide up at the end, which has got the handout on. Okay? All right. Any questions? All right, wonderful. So we have about 10 minutes left to do this and to pray, and then we'll close out at the end just after the 10 minutes is finished. If you're stuck or you need help, please raise your hand and I can come around. Okay.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.